We called for it. Thank you for your sweet presence and your peace and your strength. Thank you, Lord. We're going to take communion together tonight. Thank you for your blessing us and your speaking to us through your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Gina. We really appreciate you, young lady. We appreciate the piano player. So we'll take some communion towards the end. Sound like a good, doesn't this sound, this sounds awesome to take communion tonight. How's everybody doing? Great. I was preparing. We kind of diverted last week from John. We're going to divert again. And so we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 47. You guys familiar with Ezekiel 47? Anybody ever read the book of Ezekiel? Yeah, powerful. Ezekiel was one of those during the captivity when Babylon, you know, came and took Jerusalem and all the cities captive, right? You know, he's a contemporary of Daniel. So he was one of those that was carried off into captivity. And it's interesting. I'll just read this. This is not where we're going to be, but he had Ezekiel had five major visions. And so could you imagine this just taking a second? This, you know, you guys have got good imaginations, don't you? Imagine yourself. It says in Ezekiel chapter 1, it says, and now it came about in the 30th year on the fifth day of the fourth month. This is Ezekiel. He says, while I was by the river Chebar among the exiles, so he was with the exiles from Israel, the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. So could you imagine? They said, I saw visions of God on the fifth of the month in the fifth year of King, whatever that guy's name is, Jehoiakim's exile. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the prophet, the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon him. And as I looked, behold, a high wind was coming from the north, a great cloud with fire flashing intermediately, and a bright light around it, and in its midst something like gleaming metal in the midst of the fire. And within it there were figures resembling four living beings. And so he goes into this amazing, wild, crazy vision that he has. And so he had five major visions. And the last one he had that we're gonna really kind of focus on today is really in the time right now that you and I live in. Isn't that awesome? So what, 500, 600, 700 years before even Jesus shows to the scene, Ezekiel writes this amazing book with five major visions. And so the last one that we're going to look at, and as I was preparing for this, I was watching a live streaming with Times Square Church. So it's right there in Times Square, New York. And they were doing, they have like a prayer meeting every Wednesday. And so they were in the park, but they had all this praise and worship. And they had all these representatives of colleges, you know, kids giving testimonies, talking about coming to the Lord, talking about what they're praying for God to do in Columbia University, as an example. So these Ivy League schools, so there was like four or five different Ivy League school representatives there, and all these people in the park. And I'm telling you could tell, but there's such, even online, there was such a presence of the Lord there. You can sense that God is beginning to do something in the lives of people in America. And I'm thanking God. Let me just say this, and one reason why we're doing Ezekiel 47, I'm thanking God that he's going to do that right here in our midst, not just in New York City. We know they need it, but so do we, you know? And so as you could sense God's, as they were just worshiping and people giving testimonies and talking about things, different things going on, and different leaders on some of these different campuses, these different colleges, it was just awesome. You know, it took me back just to, you know, you can never despise even small beginnings. Let me say that. We may not be in New York, but doesn't God love people everywhere around the world? You may be in Chino Valley. You know, today we were in the Youth Alive in Chino. So, you know, the Youth Alive is a Christian club. And so, you know, I think we had 65 kids between them. It was just amazing. And you can tell something about the gospel and the kids, they don't have to be there. And getting kids there that we were praying for, like there was a kid there today, the testimony, who just came off a 2-week suspension, so much problems. He was there in one of the Youth Alive meetings, because we do it during both lunches. There's two lunches, so we bring pizza in, and then they come in, and then somebody, in this case, it was a pastor from Word of Life Chino, who was given a message, and it's just amazing the power of the gospel and what it does. And just seeing the effect on some of these kids in this short amount of time. So we're thankful for what God is doing. By the way, if I can also talk about, and you know, Prescott having that Youth Alive that's over 300 kids now. Every time I talk to somebody there, there's just more and more kids coming to that. They now have an elective class. They're starting next year. I think I told you this, so we want to look at it. Something to be praying. Who here, you don't mind praying that God will have his way in the high school and the junior high? So we'd like to start the Youth Alive and the junior high as well. And so, they're starting next year in Prescott High School. Ken, can I have one of those? Because those just, I'm needing one. And so, that's gum, isn't it? Yeah. Nah, never mind. So, anyway, I'm dry. So, there'll be an elective class next year at Prescott High School. So what it is, there's a church right across the street from Prescott High School on Rose Street. And so kids can go right across the street and take a Bible, thank you. So take a Bible elective class and get a credit for it. So we just want to copy what they're doing in Prescott, right? If it's a good, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And by the way, they've been praying for us since they've had their prayer meeting at that high school for 8 years. They've been praying for us for 8 years. Wondering why some of the things seem to have been it's like we're walking behind a snow plow in a way. Well, let me just say that the Prescott High School prayer group has been, they're the ones who've had that plow for 8 years, praying for God to have his way in Chino High School, for God to have his way in Prescott Valley High School. And so you can tell that somebody has paid a cost there. Paid a price in prayer. And saying, God, thank you for the right time and the right season for Chino Valley. I'm telling you, it's a ripe season right now for the young people in Chino Valley. I am believing with all my heart that God's going to do some amazing things. So be praying for that. So we're talking about, this is how God does things. It's these kind of crazy ideas. So being that I went to school here in Chino, second, third, and fourth grade, you know, this is back in the mid-70s, a while ago, but there's always been that bar right across the street from the high school. This has just been there. I mean, I think it must have been the first building they made in Chino, right? But we were just talking with some of the other pastors, Pastor Guy from Grace, and Pat, their youth pastor, Nate, and with Pastor Richie. We were just talking. We were saying things like, wouldn't it be wonderful to buy that bar and turn it into a youth rec center? But so as we were just praying and talking about that, why can't that happen for such a time as this? Would you be praying that the Lord will do marvelous things beyond anything we could even think or imagine, as he says in the book of Ephesians? And so something like that, looking at that and saying, Lord, thank you for making things like that happen in Jesus' name. Why do we say that? Because we were talking about, okay, so we want to have Chino Valley to also have an elective class, Bible studies, where they can get a credit. We want to do exactly the same thing as they do. Isn't that amazing? See, there was just not even a couple years ago we thought, forget that that would even happen in our high school. It's just going to go, you know, to hell in a handbasket. But we can see when people care, when people love, people are praying, people are presenting the gospel, the power of the gospel, you can see that things, you see light, starting flashes of light. Flashes of light. And so when we have those teachers that come, and so even then, you know, we have it's about 4, 5 to 6 different, you know, at times teachers that join us Wednesday morning for prayer. And I think, you know, last Wednesday or a couple Wednesdays ago, you know, we just normally just pray, but one of the teachers stopped and began to weep and said, "Hey, I want my life to count for God." And so we just stopped and we prayed for her. Prayed for, so have a time of ministry. Man, that's the power of God doing a work in a teacher. And so now we're not just praying for the students. We're praying, God, thank you for a move of God in the teachers. Lord, let there be a move of God. So those teachers that are, you know, they need Jesus too, those that don't know the Lord. They have homes. They have families. They have struggles. They have the enemy beaten up on them. And so, Lord, we thank you through the teachers at the high school that light shining, the power of the gospel. And then we do things like this. Lord, thank you, you know, because the promises of God are yes and amen. And if you ask anything according to my will, amen, he'll answer that prayer. So we pray things like that, this, around our school system. Lord, thank you. There'll never be an emergency situation where somebody's harmed on that campus. Thank you for putting a hedge of protection around the high school and the junior high and the grade school, that nothing that the enemy could do, no plan, no weapon formed will ever prosper there. Thank you for protecting those children. Thank you for destroying every plan in Jesus' name. We thank you for answering that. And we begin to just pray like that, knowing that that's what God can and will do when his people ask. When we have this attitude of it's just the way it is, it's the last days, it's going to be dark, and there's nothing we can do about it, then the enemy's left to his demises, right? But when we're praying, worshiping, honoring, respecting the teachers, doing those things, lifting our voice, saying, Lord, thank you for a hedge of protection around the schools in Chino Valley. Thank you, Father, for a hedge of protection around every church in Chino Valley in Jesus' name. Thank you for a move of God in Chino Valley and the surrounding area. Thank you, Father God, that Chino Valley is not the redheaded stepchild of the area, but there's going to be a powerful move of God. And we thank you for breaking that poverty spirit mentality in Chino Valley. Father, we thank you for breaking that in Jesus' name. We thank you for blessing Chino Valley. We thank you for blessing the people of Chino Valley. We thank you for a great move of God. Thank you for breaking that back of addiction and drugs, that spirit of addiction, that spirit of drugs. Thank you for breaking that, Father God, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the love of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ going forth, Father God, and many coming into the kingdom of God. We thank you that we live in such a time as this, Father God, that you will move, Father God. You, Father, you're going to move, Father God. We thank you that you've already begun to move. Father, let us perceive it and see it and be a part of it as we worship, as we pray, as we declare, as you do mighty things in our community. Not just in Prescott, amen. Not just in Prescott Valley, but in Chino Valley. And Father, once again, I thank you for breaking that spirit of poverty and good enough and lack over Chino Valley. In Jesus' name. Reminds me, as we're talking about that, as Pastor Lee, remember those stickers, bumper stickers that Pastor Lee had made that says, a town called Blessed. And we still declare that from this pulpit to this very day, Chino Valley, a town called Blessed. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that, continuing on what Pastor Lee began to say there, what he did say often. Amen. And so in Ezekiel 47, so we're just going to read the first two verses, and we'll see what we can do here, but an amazing chapter in the Bible. It says, there's an angel, angelic being that's giving Ezekiel this last 4 or 5 chapters up to this point, a tour of this amazing temple. So we don't know where this, we don't know if this is a heavenly temple. We don't know if this will be a temple that's in heaven right now, that's going to be when the New Jerusalem comes down, if that's going to be a temple, or if this is, we don't know, because it's not a temple that ever existed yet. Even the second temple that was built, you know, before it was destroyed in AD 70, it wasn't built or to the design of this temple that we read about in Ezekiel. But then we have a very interesting, in Ezekiel 47, Ezekiel begins to see something very interesting that applies to you and I today. So let's begin to read in verse 1. It says, then he brought me, he being the angel, the angelic being, brought me back to the door of the house. The house is the temple here. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east, for the house faced east. And the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from the south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by the way facing east. And behold, water was spurting out from the south side. So in stopping there, we have this water that's flowing through the temple and kind of going to the right side. In the temple, going to the right side of the altar that's in this temple, and then it goes through the underneath the door and out through the gate, and it's spurting. There's this water spurting. And so normally you don't want a water on the inside of a building, do you? Usually that's not a good sign, right? So you've seen those vans that say emergency water, you know, evacuation, or if you've been in a house, you ever been in a house that's ever been flooded? You can start smelling that mold and mildew. Ever experienced that? Or sometimes you go back east and the houses just smell that way on the inside anyway. But anyway, so you're seeing something here amazing. So he begins to say, hey, look, I'm having this vision. This angel's showing me this, and I'm seeing water come out of the inside of the temple. That's where it's starting. He didn't say it came from way over the hill. We had a rain and we had a flood, and the water came over and it just went right through the front door and the back door and out the front door. No, he's saying that there's water starting from inside the temple, going around and then going through the gate and then going through the outer gate, and it begins to spurt and flow. Wouldn't that be an amazing sight to see? Like, what is this talking about? But it gets even, as we read here, it becomes even more phenomenal, more amazing, and more to do with you and I right now than we could ever imagine. Let's read together verse 3. So when the man went out toward the east, so he's saying, okay, we saw this water starting from the coming out of the temple, amen. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he's got a measuring like a ruler. Got a ruler, right? So he's with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and I think one cubit's like 18 inches. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly. 1,000 cubits, and he led me. Now listen, he said he led me through the water. He led me through the water, water reaching the ankles. So now we have it coming out of the temple, just spurting. And then as we go a distance, this water, you know, usually you have water. Right, you have some water flowing. As it flows, it becomes less and less. It diminishes, doesn't it? So we're already seeing that as this water is coming out of the temple, that the water begins to go from a spurt to ankle deep. It's not decreasing, it's increasing. And let me just stop right there, that God is a God of increase in our lives. See, there might be a little area in your life right now, maybe you just feel like in your God in an area. Let me just say this. That maybe it just feels like a spurt. You know, God, this may be an area in your life that's dry. Seems like a spurt, but it's nothing more than a spurt. Let me just tell you that it starts with a spurt, with the Holy Ghost doing a work in your life, revealing himself, his joy, his peace, his strength, you pursuing him revealing himself to you, his Holy Spirit taking control of areas of our soul realm, if you know what I'm talking about. It seems like it starts out just as a spurt, but right here we can see this, that this is just a spurt. Let me just say right now, this temple that we're talking about is you and I, because we are the temple of God. It says in 1 Corinthians, it says we are the temple of God. So when we're talking about this water and this spurting, put yourself in that place saying, I am the temple of God. Amen. And this water that we're representing is actually what Jesus talked about in John 7, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You are the temple of God. There will never be another temple on this earth that will house the presence of God. Now, there may be one, and when we go to be with Jesus in the New Jerusalem, I don't know. But I know for now that there's a deposit of the Spirit of God in me. And sometimes in little areas of my life, it only seems like a spurt. But I'm telling you, it's designed. As it goes out from you, as you grow in Him, that spurt will supernaturally begin to deepen. There's areas in my life where God's doing things and it feels like it's only up to my ankles. Can I be honest? Saying, God, I know you want to do more. I know you want to do more through me. I know you want to do more in me. But Lord, I will not despise those little areas where it just feels like a spurt right now. What I do is I begin to praise Him and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I begin to pray in the Spirit. I begin to pray in English. I begin to worship in the Spirit. I begin to worship in English. And as I begin to do that, I sense that spurt of the Holy Spirit that goes underneath that gate. That gate is your mouth. And as you speak and you declare the things, the Holy Spirit coming out, doing mighty, powerful things. Amen. And so when we're declaring and speaking and it's coming out, let me just say that. It may seem like a little spurt, may not seem much, but I'm telling you, off in the distance, maybe in time or the impact it has on other people, it may be up to the ankles. Does that make sense? What appears to you to be a spurt could be much, much more than that. So let's continue on this in verse 4. And he said, again, he measured 1,000, led me through the water. Now it says water reaching the knees. Well, this is crazy. This thing isn't diminishing, it's an increasing. How can it come out of the under the gate, spurting, sputtering this well? We get a little ways and it's up to just the ankles. Anybody can manage that. He goes another distance and, well, man, now we're talking water up to the knees. That's like the rivers in Arizona, they just come up to your knees, huh? I don't even think they call them rivers in Arizona. It's just a creek, a crick, however you say it, right? Just a wash. Now listen, it says, okay, up, reaching the knees. Let's continue. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the hips. See, the power of God as we're walking with Him, in the little spurts, the little things. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Now we went from the ankles, we went from to the knees, and now we're up to the knees. Let's see what happens. Okay, let's continue. We got to go to verse 5. And he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not wade across. Can you imagine now becoming a river? I could not wade across because the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be crossed by wading. Man, the things, as those, it starts out in the little things, as we persist, as we don't give up, man, that river, that water, that thing of the Holy Spirit became something that he had to swim in. If he wanted to get to the other side with that angelic being, he wasn't going to be able to wade through in his knees. He wasn't going to be able to wade through in his waist. Now they were going to have to swim. And Lord, we ask that you would envelop us, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want everything that we have, that you have for us, God. Lord, we don't want to leave anything on the table. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God, has much more for us in this day, in this age. Father, we want to swim in it, Father God. We want to cross in it. Lord, we want to be refreshed in it. Lord, we want our thirst to be quenched by it, Father God. All those things that the Holy Spirit has for us, Father God. We pray, Father God, that right now, maybe in areas we just see a sputter, but Father, thank you. We just keep pursuing you. We keep walking with you. And as we do, that water, Father God, that understanding, that revelation, that power, that anointing, that refreshing gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we live in a day and age where you're beginning to do that again. Lord, may we not be stopped by our, Father God, by our intellect. Lord, may we not be stopped by the worries and cares of this world. Lord, may there be nothing, Father, those who hear my voice, those that are listening right now, may there be nothing that gets in the way of us wading and swimming in the things of God through the power of the Holy Ghost, through purpose, through the things that he has for you and your family. But remind you, it started with spurting under the gate. A spurting. And it supernaturally increased. See, God's going to do the increase in your life. In my life, it won't be anything in our own strength and ability. It's going to be in trusting in him. It's going to be in believing in him. It's going to be saying, God, thank you for doing the impossible. So Lord, thank you for everything that you want to do in this day and age that you have to tell yourself, I will not miss out. I'm not going to miss out. Lord, I'm not going to allow unbelief to set in. I'm not going to allow, Lord, I'm happy where I'm at to set in. Lord, I'm not going to allow myself to be discouraged by the enemy or the things of this world and say, I'm okay with just my ankles. Lord, how many people just go to their ankles in their life as far as the things of God or the Spirit of God or the purpose of God or God wanting to refresh them, simply refreshing them by his anointing, his power, and his Holy Spirit. Lord, none of us would just go up to our ankles and say, that's good enough. Go up to my knees, that's good enough. Get up to my waist, that's plenty, Lord. I mean, I'm stopping right here. Putting my fishing pole right here. Lord, may we continue with you until we are swimming, fully enveloped with your purpose. And it will only be by the Holy Spirit. It'll be by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit of God they had Elijah lifting up his cloak. It was like this, okay, I'm lifting up my cloak and outrunning a chariot. That's the same Holy Spirit that lives in us. The same Holy Spirit that translated, I'm using the right word, I think, Philip in the book of Acts. Remember, he went to the Ethiopian and he saw an Ethiopian reading from the book of Isaiah. And he said, hey, do you know what you're reading? He said, I don't. And he began to explain to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. There happened to be some water there. Water. He was baptized right then. And said then he was translated somewhere else. Phew. Anything is possible with the Lord. Anything. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you and I. Lord, may we not live in just ankle deep a purpose. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? And this is talking about those things right there. Let's continue because there is some good stuff here. Swim, so it's verse 6. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me back to the bank of the river. Verse 7. Now when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river there was very many trees. And on the one side and the other. Reminds me of Psalms chapter 1. You should be planted like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Bringeth forth your fruit in your season. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. And your leaf shall not wither. You shall bear fruit in your season. See, all these different scriptures that we see in these examples and symbols and allegories that we see or we talk about water. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes what I've noticed in my life and everything, and sometimes I'm a knowledge person, read and different things, is let me just say this. The only thing that's going to make sense in the spiritual realm is through the Holy Spirit. It'll never make sense through your mind. It's going to be through the Spirit of God in a renewed mind, but the Word of God and the Spirit of God is what renews you. And so there's nothing like walking in the river of God. Nothing like walking and allowing His presence to touch you. I have to admit, there's certain areas in my life I'm saying, Lord, I'm only in my ankles. Can I be truthful? I'm only up to my ankles. But you know what He's doing? He's saying, come, follow me, walk with me. Walk with me. It's going to get up into your knees. Gets up to your waist. And then pretty soon you, You ever been that when you've been walking like in the ocean? You ever been in the ocean? Not my favorite thing because you can't see and there's big things that live in the ocean. Call me stupid, but that's just the way I think. But you get in the ocean, you know, and you know how it is. You start out in your knee, you know, up to your knees, and you just keep going further and further out, and it gets deeper and deeper. And then pretty soon you're swimming, aren't you? You know, the presence of God when you're walking, that's with the presence of God, the Spirit of God, in purpose, is we keep walking towards Him. Keep saying, Lord, thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, don't let my mind deceive me and say, well, I don't want that. It looks foolish. Well, it's the foolish things of God that confound the wise. If it's of God, it looks foolish. I get to the point where you're saying, Lord, I don't care. If it's you, I'll be foolish for you. Because it'll always have purpose. There'll always be people around you that'll mock or try to say, well, that's foolishness. Or they'll say this, okay, I'm a Christian, I believe in the Word of God, but that Holy Spirit stuff? No. That's the mind saying there's, okay, you can read the Word of God. That's the wisdom of a man saying, but there's no more. That's it. No, God said there's much more. There's much more than just dipping your toes. There's much more than just putting in your ankles. His presence is there for the taking. Amen? I have to say, like, my wife is one of those. I think it's the way she's raised. I've said this before. I've told many people this. If there's an ounce of anointing in the room, my wife will be in it. Everybody else around there might be looking at her like, what's going on? But she will be in that anointing. I'm not kidding. If there's an ounce, she is going to find it. And everybody else around her, or a lot of the people around her, be like, what is she doing? She is up to her waist, or she's swimming in the presence of God. And when you've been raised that way, it's just something that's part of you. And Lord, help us, Father God, who maybe didn't experience that. Lord, the things that would keep us from walking in those things, the things of our mind, the things that say no, we don't even realize in our subconscious. Father, we ask that you would break those things in Jesus' name, Father God. And Lord, that we would walk in the fullness of the power of God, of the Holy Spirit in this day, in this age. And whatever is trying to stop us, Father, break it in Jesus' name. Make us come alive, Father God. That stupor that people are in, Father, wake them from the stupor, Father. Father, wake people from the stupor of religion. This blind stupor of religion that people cannot walk any deeper in the things of God because of a blindness. I'm not saying they're not born again. I'm not saying they don't have the Holy Spirit, but I'm telling you, they're not going any deeper than their toes. They don't even realize that they're walking in blindness. And if you're walking in the fullness, what they're going to do is they're going to persecute you. And you, even if they are, you've got to, in love, you've got to continue on. Because one thing that will arise too, as we're walking in the fullness of God, there will be a persecution. And your mind will say, hey, let's take a couple steps back. But you say, nope, I'm going to continue to go forward. I'm going to continue to swim. I'm going to get into deeper things. Lord, you're going to show me deeper things. Lord, you're going to bring times of refreshing. You're going to heal every little area of my soul that keeps nagging at me. That keeps from being, for some reason, completely made whole. And thank God we're in a time where this is what the Lord's doing. Because we got so many people from such broken backgrounds. The only way it's going to be healed, truly healed, is swimming in the waters of God. Right? Reminds me of that song, I'm diving in, I'm going deep. That's the only line. I know there's more to it, but if Gino's here, we could sing a line of it. I can remember a line of it. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. In an era where we live, so many broken people, so much addiction, so much family trauma, it is only the Holy Spirit that can heal trauma. Man can expose it. He can You can see it. He can say, yep, it's there. But only the Holy Spirit can heal it. Powerfully. Supernaturally. I'm praising God and thanking God for areas in my life that are still a little tweaked, that the power of God, the Holy Spirit, through the Spirit of truth, making those areas whole. Amen. He's going to do that. The wonderful thing is he's going to do it in us. And then we're going to show other people how to, hey, follow me. Don't be scared. Yep, you're going to have to swim a little bit here. You might have to dog paddle. But get used to it, because you're going to be in this water for a while. Amen and amen. Many trees. Verse 8, then he said to me, these waters go toward the eastern region and go down into the Arabah, and they go toward the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea became fresh. Wow. Dead things. Things that you can't partake of, you can't drink. Making things fresh. Verse 9, it said, and it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. Amen. Keep going. And there will be very many fish, for these waters go there and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And so what did he say to Peter? I'm going to make you fisher of men. See, everywhere go these fish, meaning people, human beings coming into the kingdom of God, being at last day's harvest, getting caught in the net of God, so to speak, being harvested by the Holy Spirit. It says everything that this river touches shall live. But there's a few other things. Let's continue. I want to just, there's a few things. Verse 10, and it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it. In the Engedi, in the Englaim, there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But listen to this. This is what we will still face in this day and age. So listen up if you can, this last few minutes, verse 11 and 12. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. So there'll be those that are going to reject it. There'll be those that this as the water in the river God flows, there'll be areas that will reject it. They'll remain marshy. There won't be any life there. There won't be any fresh water flowing in it. So that just means there'll be individuals, there'll be peoples that will reject that fresh water. So you, even though God is on the move, there'll still be areas that will not be fresh, be marshy. For you and I, it's learning by the Spirit of God, by the truth of God, saying, I am not going to go play in the marsh. No, I'm not going to the marsh. I'm staying in the river God. No marsh for me. How about you? I've had enough marsh time. Spent some time in a marsh in Mississippi. And I'm telling you, it was not fun. But it crazy is what it was. And getting out of the marsh, I mean, that takes almost God to get you out of a marsh, I found out as well, too. But I won't go that direction. So verse 11, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They'll be left for salt. Verse 12, and by the river on its bank, on one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. How about provision? Spiritual gifts, things that you and I can partake supernaturally. You know what brought life to those trees and its fruit? It was a river. It wasn't you, wasn't I. It was the power of God, the river of God, the anointing of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God. When we're walking in his truth and pursuing him, God is the one that provides these things of fruit. He's the one that takes care of us. He's the one that brings times of refreshing. And so as we end tonight, what I would encourage you, what I'm doing is saying, Lord, thank you for times of refreshing. Lord, thank you that you've got much more for us than what we're experiencing. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, that anything that tries to get me off into a marsh, I rebuke it, show it to me. I'm not going to be in the marsh. I'm going to get into that clean river because it gets all that marsh scum off of you. gets all that nastiness off of you. That clean river God washes us, cleanses us. Amen. And by the river on the bank, let me read it again. On one side and on the other will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Thank you, Lord. I declare that, and I speak that over my life and your life. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because the water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. Father, thank you for your healing power. Lord, thank you that we have a direct connection from the sanctuary of God. It says, come to his sanctuary, come to his throne room, when you're in his throne room of grace in your time of need. Father, thank you that we're seated with you in heavenly places. Father, thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Father, thank you for opening our spiritual eyes. Father God, as you said in Revelation chapter 3, when you were talking to the church there, you were saying, hey, get salve for your eyes so you can see. Get a white garment so that you'll be white as snow, Father. He was talking to individuals in a church that had fallen away from the Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you in this day and age that you're calling many, many backsliders, if you want to call them that. Thank you for bringing the backslider back. Father, thank you for bringing those who have been living in marshes, those who have been in marshes and have been death, Father God. Thank you for bringing them out of the marsh, children, grandchildren, friends, family, Father God, people that we work with, people in our community, Father, people living in death and marsh. Thank you for bringing them out of that, bring them out of that scum, that scum that you get in those marshes, Father God, and bringing them into the river where they can be washed off and cleansed, made brand new. Lord, how many people are in a pond? I'm thinking about pond scum. How many people are living in a pond thinking, I'm just not worthy. I can never come back. He'd never take me back. How many people are living a lie, Lord? In the pond is where all the demonic foes hang out, the lying voices. But Father, thank you for bringing people, Father, supernaturally out of those marshes into your river to be washed and cleansed. Father God, we thank you from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call them out of those areas in their lives, Lord. We call them back to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you, Lord. Even as we speak, it may seem like a sputter even as I speak, but Lord, we thank you as we're declaring, Father, you're bringing people in. As this word goes forth, God, it's getting deeper and deeper and deeper. It's going to affect those that are in our life in Jesus' name, Father. The power of prayer, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you're as a day and an age where you're answering in prayer, drawing people back into your kingdom, bringing people in to be blessed, Father God, that are going to be trusting you afresh and anew. Thank you for healing the brokenhearted. Father, thank you for what you've already begun to do. And it may be only a sputter, but Lord, we thank you that the waters are getting deeper and deeper. And Lord, thank you that you're inviting us. And Lord, we say, yes, yes, I'm walking towards you, deeper with you. Everything that tries to keep us out, everything that remains of this pond scum in our lives, thank you for washing it off. We just simply yield to you, say, Lord, show us, help us. Thank you, Father, show us, wash us clean on those areas. We already got a born-again spirit, but you know what I'm talking about, those things of the flesh, things of the soul. Father, thank you for washing those dead areas off. Lord, thank you for a river coming forth from the inner man, from the belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. As he said to the woman at the well, he says, this water, you know, he says, I've got a water that if you drink, you'll never thirst again. She said, let me have this water. She said, I'm getting tired of coming out here. Amen. Lord, we thank you for a thirst. There's a thirst in our soul sometimes I don't think we realize. Because we've lived with it so long, and we negotiated in our minds how we navigate through life to accomplish goals and things, which are fine. Lord, those areas that we just need to you, Lord, you'd bring on the light bulb and say, let my Holy Spirit touch those areas. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, for I'm gentle and I'm humble. Thank you for your humility, Jesus, to lay down your life on the cross for our sins. And because of that, as it says, Father God, in the third chapter of Galatians, that we get the promise of Abraham being joint heirs with him. But it says then we get that first promise, which is a deposit of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for that being more and more evident in our lives as you grow us in us. Grow us in you, I mean, Lord. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen.